to you all.
Amen. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? I'm going to ask Brother Dennis if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Father and Savior Jesus Christ, we come unto you, Lord, this morning.
Amen.
Lord, not according to our might, Lord, but it's by thy grace, Lord, that we come. Lord, we lift our cups unto you. Fill us, Lord, Father.
Yes.
Renew our strength, Lord, as
Amen.
We continue to walk
Amen.
This journey, Lord.
Amen.
The narrow path, Lord, that we've chosen to walk, may you go before us, Lord,
Amen.
Holding
Amen.
Our hands, Lord, Father. And may we stay true, Lord, to thy word and to thy calling, Lord, Father. We lift the minister into thine hands, Lord. Strengthen him, Lord, and use the vessel, Lord, that you've chosen today, Lord, to
Amen.
Reach into our hearts, Lord. We ask and we for in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If we can turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 for this scripture. Revelations chapter 1, we'll start with verse 1 and go through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. I'm going to hold off on reading Revelations chapter 2. If we are able to, by God's grace, to get into that, then we'd like to do that. First of all, the subject we're going to continue on is the character of Christ, and I believe this is part 5. So it may be a very lengthy series, but when you're dealing with Christ, and it's very lengthy because he's eternal, right?
Yes.
And so it takes a lot of time to go through it. If you're going through the scriptures and the message of the hour, there's many nuggets in there, so it'll take a little bit of time. Now, before we do that, last Sunday we went on to a scripture in Luke, and I'd like to clarify something because we talked about Simeon and Anna, and I wasn't able to get the full remembrance of the details. So Brother Josh, being a good brother that he is, he brought it to my attention. And so then I went back and then looked at it again. So I just wanted to bring that for clarity's sake for everyone. So if, we can turn to Luke chapter, let's see. Okay, Luke, it's the beginning. And so Luke chapter 2, verse 36. So if you remember, this is the birth of Jesus Christ, and there were two different believers that were mentioned in this scripture of particular note. It was Simeon and it was Anna. And so Simeon was looking for the coming of the Lord, and the Lord led him by the Holy Ghost to where Jesus was born, or where Jesus was. Are we all together on that? Okay, now we're going to read this scripture, and so I just want to clarify it so that we're all together. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So we know that Simeon was dedicated to the Lord, and so God allowed him to see the birth of Christ, or he allowed him to see Christ in flesh, right? And so Anna was looking for that same consolation. And so she was fasting and praying in the temple, waiting for that coming. And because of her dedication, because of her heart, and because of her watchful attitude, God allowed her to see Christ.
Amen.
So it says here, just want to clarify, in verse 38, he says it was a continuation. So he showed Simeon, and then in verse 38, and she coming in that same instant, the same time that Simeon did, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him. So there's a clarification. So both of them saw the Lord in flesh.
Amen.
As a little child.
Amen.
Now I'm going to read this quote from the prophet just to kind of clinch it. So in the message, Leading of the Spirit of God, Brother Branham makes this statement. He says, the Holy Ghost said, it shall be called the Son of God. How? It wasn't to reason, it was to believe. And there they kept their distance. But here comes the prophet, the one who believes in supernatural. He was the supernatural, walking down through there, the old sage, and the tears running down his cheek as he walked, stopped right in front of the little old mother. So he's speaking of Simeon here. Reached over and took that baby out of her arms. He looked at it, the tears running down his cheeks, and said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to your word. Mine eyes has seen your salvation.
Amen.
There you are, led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, my expecting it and being led by the Spirit to what you're expecting. It's a whole other sermon, expectations.
Amen.
In the temple the same day was an old prophetess by the name of Anna. She didn't leave the temple. She prayed day and night. She was blind in her eyes, but she could see a lot further than people could with
Amen.
Their eyes.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Don't need to depend on the flesh, I guess.
Amen.
She blind. She was waiting for the consolation of Israel, knowing that Christ would come someday. And the Holy Spirit struck her. She stood up on her feet. And here come that old prophetess, blind, moving by the Holy Ghost, moving through the temple around the critics until she come and stood in front of him. The Holy Ghost leading her to Christ, raised up and prophesied and blessed Mary and the baby, led of the Spirit, expecting it, believing it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Simeon and Anna, they were not much to look at in society. But yet God revealed himself to them, and they were led to where Christ was.
Amen.
And he's the most important thing, right?
Amen.
That's what we're seeking for. And so because of how they were in their attitude, their humbleness, their heart in different things, and their yielding to the Spirit of God allowed them to be led to Christ. And so the revelation of Christ comes in that type of attitude. And we've got to be led by the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Now we're going to go back to Revelations because this ties in to another scripture here. So when we're looking at the character of Christ, I want to remember we went through and laid the foundations of Revelations chapter 1. I'm not going to rehash that, but one thing I want us to note in Revelations chapter 1, starting with verse 10, he says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And so we know that this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the opening of who Jesus Christ is, right?
Amen.
But this book is not open to the ordinary person or ordinary believer.
Amen.
It is one, as Brother Branham states, a special class of people. I'm not saying that they're elite or anything like that, but they're the chosen
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
And so God has seen each one that's a predestinated seed through time of what they would accept and how their heart was. Therefore, he, by foreknowledge, he could predestinate them
Amen.
To become the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And so, therefore, the elect cannot be deceived, but are able to see Christ, not by their own doing, but the grace of God that God has given to them in their heart.
Amen.
So they have actually the equipment to be able to receive Christ and be able to see him.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So it's not God saying, I will choose this one, I won't choose this one. But God, by foreknowledge, knew you.
Amen.
And therefore, by foreknowledge, knowing how you would be, he could predestinate those to become the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Now, when we see here, so Revelations is talking about the full opening of Christ. Now, remember we talked about how people cannot understand this book in the mainstream Christian world. But we've been given by God's grace to be able to understand and see it. Two things. One is by a spirit, the Spirit of God. The second one is by the Spirit of God leading us to the Word, which is the prophet's message. Do we understand what I'm saying? And so those two things have brought us to an understanding of this revelation. And so in this day, this is the word for our day, is through the message of the hour. And so God has given, and remember, the message and the scripture are tied together. They dovetail together. But this is the word for our day. Now, when we look, so I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And so John, being a representation of you and I, he represents the bride.
Amen.
And so he's seeing all these things, and he's being brought up higher, right, in Revelations 4. And he sees the seals and all these different things, the angel in Revelations 10, and all the way down through the end. But you see, first of all, he had to be caught up by the Spirit. And then he was able to see these things. And so we have got to be in the Spirit in order to see Christ.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Glory. That's right.
You can't see God by your own normal thinking.
Amen.
You've got to get in the Spirit.
Amen.
And so when you're getting in the Spirit, then you can see God.
Amen.
Then you get the revelation of God, and things begin to open up to you.
Amen.
And you begin to take actions that are the same actions that God would take himself.
Amen.
Because you're walking in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And so how do we get in the Spirit of God? We've got to be in a way that we forget this world.
Amen. That's right.
The things drop off. We're not thinking about them.
Amen.
And so now we're flushed out. And so the Spirit of God can now take over. Now our thoughts are guided by Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Right?
That's right. Amen.
Because you and I, with our own human thinking, it's actually against Christ.
Yes.
No matter how good intentioned you are, and you rationalize and think through all these things, if you apply it to the spiritual life,
Amen.
It causes death.
Amen. Amen.
And so that's why we cannot understand and see the scriptures by our own human knowledge and thinking.
Amen.
Although you can compare verse by verse, as Brother Branham talks about, you will never get the spiritual understanding of it.
Amen.
You've got to get in the Spirit. And so these two, this brother and sister, Simeon and Anna, they got in the Spirit, and God led them to Christ.
Amen.
And so that's the only way that you will go in the rapture, is if you're led by the Spirit.
Amen.
You've got to be led by the Spirit.
Glory to God. Amen.
So now, laying that foundation, and I just want to bring it a little bit further into that, because, you know, as ministers, we must consecrate ourselves before we stand here.
That's right.
Because if we stand here without doing that, then we're going to give you
a
pot of mess.
That's right. Amen.
We're going to give you death.
Amen.
But if we're consecrated and we're yielding to the Spirit of God, and God then can use us as a channel to
Amen.
Speak his word through,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so as a minister, you have to dump out all those things.
Yes.
You know, you've got to spend time away.
Amen.
And with the Lord and in prayer and different things, and so that you can forget about all those things, those thoughts and ideas, and so you're neutral to your thinking, and now you're an open vessel so that God can start to work on your mind. And so you get all those things out, and then you start to get into the Word. And so now God begins to open up the things, and so he begins to lead you through the scriptures and the message of the hour of what to bring forth. And so now you're an open channel, more of an open channel. So the more that we're yielded to God, the more that he can use us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And so, you know, that's a desire of a true minister, is to be out of the way completely and to not care about what is said or how it's said, as long as they're yielded to God.
Amen.
No matter if the people accept it or reject it, that they're doing it out of the will of God and yielded completely to Him.
Amen.
Not being swayed by the responses and, you know, do they like it or do they not like it? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
We've got to be able to be, not think about people. Now, we care about people, right? But we don't let that get in the way of what we are to bring
Amen.
Forth because
Amen.
The truth must come forth,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Otherwise, I am not doing my duty. I'm not doing what I am called to. Brother Marcel's not, Brother Mike's not, all the other ministers are not doing what they are called to do.
Amen.
But you see, I'm not just bringing it to the ministers. I'm bringing it to you.
Amen. Glory.
Because everybody has their position in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And so each member must be yielded to God.
Amen.
So it's not just for us to, you know, pray and yield ourselves so that we can be used of God. You must do the same thing yourself.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
And so when you, in the congregation, in this meeting that we have or the service that we're having, you've got to be a yielded vessel so that God can move through you because you are part
Amen.
Of the service.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
So the message is coming forth from the pulpit and the people are responding.
Amen.
And so if you're distracted, if you're not yielded to God, then you will not be a contributory to the service,
yes.
right?
Glory.
And God needs each one of you to contribute
Amen.
To the service.
Amen.
Because when the word's coming forth and the people are pulling and they're responding, then the Spirit of God begins to build and develop an atmosphere
Amen.
Where God can call out different things
Amen.
And set people free.
Amen.
And so the Spirit is free to move. And then when it does, then the minister at the pulpit, he begins to get more of the Spirit of God, the power of God. And then things begin to be called out and more things begin to be revealed in different things in the service. Begins to become a powerful meeting
Amen.
Where the devil has no place there.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But if you don't do that, then things just drop.
That's
and the minister is struggling.
Amen.
The song leader is struggling in all these different things. You know, each member, the pianist, the musicians, the song leader, they must come in prayer.
Amen.
In a prayed attitude so that they can be used by the Spirit of God, and the song leader must be led in that direction. The songs that he chooses are God-ordained, and then they hit the right things, and everything hits right on key. Do you understand what I'm saying? As Brother Branham says, it's a great symphony, and then it's a big orchestra. Everybody's having their part, and they're all in perfect harmony, and when that's happening, it's making music to God, and God is pleased, and the Spirit of God begins to come down. And the gifts begin to operate in a way. And then, you know, say there's tongues and there's interpretation of tongues. There's healing and different things. And all these things begin to happen because each person is taking their position
Amen.
In the congregation, doing their part.
Amen.
You see, the devil wanted to take this away, our understanding
right.
through the ages and through man-made thinking to separate the laity from the ministry, right?
Yes.
And to make, you know, put in it that the ministry knows, you know, what, and the congregation just needs to sit back and just absorb, and they don't have to live at the same standard, and, you know, different things like that. But we all have the same standard
Amen.
That God has called us to.
Amen.
We all need to have the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
And we all need to contribute. So now, as we look in this, as the character of Christ, I want to bring up this graphic here just to display some things, and then I'm going to go into some of the message of the hour. You know, sometimes God wants us as ministers, as He leads, sometimes to just bring up things and then just move as the Spirit is moving, as far as not always going into the quotes, into the scriptures, but sometimes God wants us to go through those things.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you the value of going through the quotes, and it doesn't have to just be here. It can be in your room.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so there it is again, the devil may be saying like, well, I can hear everything, you know, from the service, and I don't have to do my own study. That's the minister's job. No, it's your job. Amen. You need to know what the word says. Amen. You can't just say the pastor said this or whatever. You have to know for yourself what the scriptures and the message says. Amen. You know, and I'm not trying to shame anybody or anything, but sometimes we need a little fire underneath, right? And so I would say this, if you've been in the message of the hour for a while and you say you have the Holy Ghost and you have not read this book at all, shame on you. I just say that. Shame on you. This is one of the basic books that we are to read as believers. Amen. You say it's thick. You say, I may not understand it. Revelation of Jesus Christ was in this book. Amen. And different, you know, messages like the seals and different ones. But this is one of the most basic ones because this has all the major doctrines that are part of the message of the hour. And so, you know, if somebody challenges you, you have to know what you believe. Amen. Otherwise, you'll be shaken. And you'll question, and then you may fall. Now, you may get back up, but we need to be firmly rooted. So it's not just about going to service and having a good time and enjoying the Spirit of God, but it is a daily walk that we must stay in the Word. Amen. And know what the Word says. Amen. Know what we believe. Amen. If somebody asks you why this, I know it because it says it in this, in my Bible right here, you know. Why do I wear skirts if you're a sister? It says it right here, Deuteronomy this. And, you know, why do we not have women preachers? It says it right here in Timothy. You know, you can point to the scriptures. We must know. Those are basic things, brothers and sisters. And so I challenge you, if you have not, you need to study this book. See, reading it is one thing and then studying it is another. So, okay, I have the general thing, but now what? Let me dig into it. Because if you're not digging into it, then things will just pass you by. But when you're digging into it and you're in the Spirit of God and you're in the room like that, then God begins to open some things to you and it quickens it and says, oh, that's the revelation of that, what that means. And it sinks down into your heart because God is trying to reveal things to you. Why is revelation important? Because that is the faith that was to turn, that the Elijah ministry was to turn the hearts to back to that kind of faith. Because that is the faith that will get us into rapture. That is the perfect faith. You see, when you're needing healing, and then God reveals the truth to you that you will be healed, and it sinks in your heart, there's no devil that can stop you from getting healed. Amen. Do you understand that? Amen. So it's not just, I mean, although resting on the word is good, but when that word comes to life and reveals that you will be healed, then you will be healed. And you can laugh in the devil's face. Do you understand? See, that's the power that the devil cannot overcome. So when you have it and it sinks down in your heart, then the devil can try to deceive you this way, that way, or talk you out of it this way or not. You will not. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. That's why in order to understand this message, you must have a revelation that this is the truth. That's right. Otherwise, you will be pushed out of it at some point.
That's right. Amen. Glory.
All right.
Amen.
So this is going to be an overview. As some of us know in the government or presentation world, you know, the overview slide, right? And then you get into the details. Hopefully that's kind of funny or you have a sense of humor, something. All right. Just trying to loosen you up. So this pattern goes throughout the scriptures. As you see, you know, when Brother Branham preached the message of the hour, he was hitting the highlights. But he says, when you get time in your room, then you can go back and dig into these things, right? Okay. So when we look at this, we're talking about the walk of a believer into perfection. And God wants us to walk into the perfection. We're not there, but God wants us to get into the perfection.
Amen.
So it's not just about I believe and therefore I am saved and therefore I'm good to go. But God's called us into furtherance of his grace.
Amen.
Continuing of his grace until we're ready to be raptured.
Amen.
And so it's a continual process. And so I'm not going to go through this again. I'm going to go up to here because justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you enter into the tabernacle, then that is the start of getting into what Brother Branham says is Canaan or the Holy Ghost. Because you believed, you've had a revelation, you've separated from sin, then God's cleaned you up to the point that you've given up your old habits. And then the Spirit of God was ready to come into you to the fullness of the new birth. Because remember, birth has three parts to it: water, blood, and spirit.
That's right.
So justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. So those three parts bring us into the new birth, right?
Amen.
And so now we are born again, but we're just babies. So some people say, okay, I'm done. I got the Holy Ghost. Well, if you have the Holy Ghost, God is not going to let you stay there or be satisfied being there.
Hallelujah.
So now there is a growth process after that.
Amen.
And so when we go through that process, now God is shaping and molding us into a true son and daughter of God, or a man or lady of God.
Amen.
So in the adoption series, he talks about child training. And so there is a tutoring that goes on, and there is a training program that goes on. And we all know we've been through that. We're all adults. All of us should be adults. So, you know, when you go through school or when you go through training for work, you go through education process where you're being taught, but you're also training. And training is, you know, I deal with it for my career, and you guys can deal with it or relate to it with your career. So, when flying the aircraft, so you go through academics, but then you also go through training where you're doing hands-on, and then when you're making mistakes, then the instructor will, you know, grab your mask or hit you on the head and say, don't do that. That's dangerous, you know. And same thing, God is teaching us through his word, but at the same time, we're going through training, and we get slapped, maybe not slapped in the face, but you know what I mean. You get knocked down a few times and corrected and say, like, that's not the right way. Go this way.
Amen.
But you see, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're willing to learn.
Amen.
And God loves a willing heart, and that Holy Ghost gives you a willing heart to not let pride overcome you that you can't learn, right? Because we know in Proverbs that the wise person receives instruction, and they're open to instruction.
Amen.
No matter who it's from, you can learn from somebody, right?
Amen.
Okay. So now you go through the training process, but also, Brother Branham says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, then the gifts begin to come into operation.
Amen.
So each of us are born with gifts, right? You say, I don't know if I have a gift. You do have a gift. Right. You do have gifts. You know, you're good at certain things. And God made you that way. You were born that way. Maybe you have music. You were born with that, that you had an ability to just pick up an instrument and start playing. Brother Roger was telling me that he just was able to play without getting lessons, you know, and he knew music. And he says his son, little Elias, is that way. And so people are born with that. And then there's some people like myself, I try to get lessons in different things, and it's challenging. I mean, I could work really hard at it, but it's not a gift for me, right? You know, piano, like somebody had to tell me when I was younger, like, you may not want to do that anymore, you know. Maybe you want to do something else. So, you know, I like it, and we like certain things, but it's not our gift, right? But see, God built us a certain way for that gift to be used for his glory. Now, we might use that gift before we receive the Holy Ghost for some other purpose, right? To make money or different things like that. But God, when he gets a hold of us, he wants us to yield that gift to his purpose. So that gift can totally be used for what he has intended it for to be used for, right? Do you understand? But see, some people like Elvis Presley, they used it for their purpose, right? And they use it for their glory, their fame and money and different things and women and all those different things. That was a God-given gift, but it wasn't used properly. And so remember how Brother Branham in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, even though you've got all these gifts, if you don't have love, then it means nothing, right? And that love actually is Christ. If you have the Holy Ghost, you've got to get the Holy Ghost first, and then the gifts will be operated properly, right? You see, if you have the Holy Ghost, then if you have the gift of speaking in tongues, you'll keep it under obedience and not use it for yourself to show off, but you'll use it at the appropriate time to help others, not yourself.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Because if you look at 1 Corinthians 3, it was never about self, right? It was about others. The Spirit of Christ is about others, living for others, right? And so, you know, because it feels good if you have that gift to speak it. You feel good, right? But if there's confusion in the place, then does that help anybody? It only helps you, right? And so if you've got the Spirit of God, you say, wait a minute, that's not going to help everybody. Let me hold on to that, right? And let me use it at the appropriate time. And see, if you don't have it under the Spirit of God, then it'll be used also out of order and disobedience, because God lays an order and he says, don't do it when the preacher's preaching. But this person, like, they want to, I can't control myself. Then you need training, right? You need the Holy Ghost. Whenever you can't control yourself, that's bad. In any form of fashion. You get angry, you can't control yourself. Whatever emotion, you can't control yourself, or you have this gift, you can't control it, it's not good. You've got to let the Spirit of God control that. Now it's being controlled by love. And so now every time it's being used, so like, say if it's a ministering gift, he's not using it to show off. He's not using it to show how much he knows, or that he has, he knows more than the people and kind of put them down. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it's operated in love because they need help, you know, and I want to be used so that I can help the people. Now it's being used properly. And so there's a training program, so God is shaping you so that that gift can be used appropriately. You know, and it's not, you know, there's many different gifts. And some gifts, if you look in 1 Corinthians 12, they're kind of general gifts. They're like helps, right? And governments and different things like that. And so there's many gifts that, like, say you have a gift of putting things together and try to organize it. And that's a gift. Maybe it falls under helps or governments or something like that. But that's a gift that can help the body. Does it help the body? Of course it does. If nobody else can do it, then we can't have certain things take place, right? You know, and singing, you know, is a gift. If it's anointed singing, that can really do something to the atmosphere of the congregation and raise it to a certain level so that people can be more open to receiving the things that God's going to speak on. Do you understand?
Amen.
And so we want to be yielded, but we've got to receive the Holy Ghost. Don't operate that gift. It can do a lot of damage in the congregation if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because you may have that wonderful gift of singing, but then you're using it to show off. Or you're using it in the spirit, then it makes other people upset or jealous, right? So let's think about those things. And then in this process, we're learning obedience.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to go through that because He's trying to get us to be totally obedient to him, because when we're totally yielded and obedient to him, then it allows for Christ and us to become one.
Amen.
And so when that happens, when, you know, we're totally yielded and And God says, I can trust him or her because they will do whatever I ask, you know. They won't, you know, not try to go behind the back or just, you know, do this or do that, but they're totally obedient. They ask, you know, they're totally submissive to me. So when we get to that, you know, as Brother Branham talks about, it's in the adoption, it's in the placing, it's that you have been placed firmly in your position in Christ. In all aspects, as a believer, as a position, God's called you where that gift's supposed to operate, as understanding the word and the promises of God, and all those things come all in line, and then we're placed. And as he says in the message, and we'll try to see if we can get to it, but he mentions this as the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are we all together? Does that sound foreign to you? We have the message that says it. And also, when we talk about the token as well, when we talk about the token, because remember, the Holy Ghost was different for each age, a different manifestation for each age. So when I say Luther, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was this level. But then in Wesley's time, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was a different level, right? And then on the Pentecost, it was a different level. And then when we get into this age, which is a final age, and, you know, as Brother Branham refers to, the bride age, but it's the age of perfection where God is bringing us to himself, where the capstone is coming down, then that is in this age the token. And we'll get to it here in a little bit. And then we talk about the seals and the third pull and different things. Now, we're going to focus in this area because this is the area but where many of us are at. And we need to know what God is really doing with us, and so that we can be yielded as he's shaping our character under this training program. And the character of Christ is what we want displayed in us, right? We want the character of Christ. Right. How he's taught in the scriptures, how the life of Christ was, we want that to come out from us, right? Okay. And so when we talk about the candlesticks, remember the candlesticks are before you go into the Holy of Holies, so you've got to pass through the candlesticks in order to get there. And so Brother Brand talks about the candlesticks in the message in Revelation chapter 1 through 3 talks about it, but those are represented in the church ages. And in the stature of a perfect man, he begins to shape into how it comes into the pyramid. Is this foreign? Okay. Tell me who's heard that before. Just raise your hand just so I have a... Okay. So the church ages are in the candlesticks. And then the stature of a perfect man, that he's bringing the church ages and tying it actually to these characteristics of a stature of a perfect man in 1 Peter. That we're to have faith, virtue, knowledge, all these different things. And as we're developing these things, if all these things fulfill themselves in us, brotherly kindness, and then God seals us with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ, which is love, right? And so I'm going to bring the proof of this here when we go through the quotes and different things. But see, and so when we took... Now when we, maybe we'll talk about this at some point, but you remember when the seals came, remember he preached all these things, the church ages, all the way up, and then the seals came, right? And there's different patterns. We can go on and on talking about it, how it patterned that was coming to this point right here. Because he wanted us to be one with him. Amen. And he wanted us to manifest that love, and as Brother Mike's been preaching, that Son of Man ministry. When we're talking about the Son of Man ministry, it's Christ again in human flesh manifesting himself with the same characteristic and the same attributes that Christ did when he was on this earth. Amen. And so when you hear Son of Man ministry, that is exactly what he's talking about, is that the Spirit of God is working and he's manifesting himself in the fullness and the revelation. Because everything has been uncovered in this. We just have to be open and yielded to God and have our heart open so that he can reveal that to us. Amen. And when he reveals that to us, it begins to express itself through us.
Amen.
And so remember the head of Christ, the head, right? The head, whew, that's the head right there. That's where we're coming to. And remember he said seven angels were in that head, right? And so when you see that the church ages, it was Christ operating through those church ages. So you take all the compilation of each of those faith, virtue, knowledge of each of the church ages coming up together. It was a full revelation of Jesus Christ, because when that came up to the fullness in the Laodicean age, then it was ready to get into here. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this whole thing, remember seven angels. Weren't there seven messengers to each church age? But when you take them all together, right, there was one messenger. It was a seventh church age messenger that he took all the mysteries, right, into that one. He said, this one meant more to me, the one with the seventh seal, the thing that I've wondered all my life. So he takes all the mysteries from those seven, those messengers, and it begins to be revealed through this one messenger, right?
Amen.
The Son of Man ministry for today, right?
Amen.
The revealing of the Son of Man. Luke 17:30. And so I'm getting the signal that I need to stop here. So there's other things, because this, you see these words right here? This comes from the bride tree. The message, the bride tree, if you remember that message. But it shows how Satan, through the church ages, tried to tear down the church, right? Starting with the original that was in the book of Acts and teared it down, but God restored it up, right? But he was tearing down it bit by bit. So he first started out with the fruits that were on the tree. And Brother Brand said those nine things, those fruits, were the fruits of the Spirit, spoken of in Galatians, and they were the nine spiritual gifts. So those were the first things he tried to remove. Then he tried to remove fellowship amongst the believers, tried to divide brothers and sisters against one another. I'm in this camp, I'm in that camp kind of thing. And then after he did that, he began, see, it's weakened now. And you'll see this when you go through the church ages, because he began to peel things a little bit back at a time. And so what is the first thing that he peeled back in Ephesians? Can anybody tell me what he first peeled back? Class. Thou hast left thy first love. That's the first thing he pulled back, was love. But they had the message, right? And that's why he said, but you have called them out who say they are servants of God, but they're not, right? Because they had the word, but they lost the love. Do you understand? And so now he has an avenue, because they lost love. Now he can start to creep in, because he took away the gifts and he took away the fruits of the Spirit. Now that all they have is the word. And so they're holding on to the word, but now he has avenues to creep in. And so little bit by little bit, he begins to tear things down. Do you understand? But then God begins to restore. And I see Brother Duncan giving me the look. So, amen, let's all stand. Something else that I'm going to bring is, remember, redemption. Redemption. What does redemption mean? It's two parts. Bringing out and going into, right? So you can't just come out of sin. Because when you heard the word, it identified that you were a sinner. Because this word was so powerful and strong, you said, oh, I'm a sinner because this is so holy and I'm so not holy, right? And it identified to you that you are not right. So you repented and you came out. But you can't stay in that state, because then you're staying in legalism. Do you understand? Do's and don'ts. I can't do this. I can't do that. You've got to move into grace.
Amen.
And so you came out of the world, and then redemption is you've got to go into Christ.
Amen.
You've got to go into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you're going into grace.
Amen.
Now you're not depending on yourself, and you're letting God begin to yield. You're beginning to yield and let God shape you. Do you understand?
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you, O Father. Lord, we had not known these things until you opened it to us, O Lord, through the messenger of this hour, through the Holy Ghost, O Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just help us, O Father. We are weak within ourselves. We have nothing to offer you, O Lord Jesus, but just ourselves as a yielded vessel, as a sacrifice, O Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us, O Father. Lord, we are totally dependent upon you. We cannot do anything within ourselves. We need you, O Father. Lord Jesus, help us to have more of that attitude, O Lord Jesus, that Christ can work through us, O Lord, and we would rest from our own ways, O Lord, and let you take control, Father. Lord, help each brother and sister that's here. We ask that you would take control of the service, O Lord Jesus. Let us take these things that we've learned about our contribution to the service and put them into practice, O Father, so that the Spirit of God can move higher and higher in the sanctuary, O Lord, so that people can be helped, O Lord, delivered, O Lord. Sinners can be convicted, your Father. Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you, O Father. We praise your name. Help each one of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.